This morning, as we get closer to noontime, I think I'm supposed to talk about this scripture from Matthew that was just the song that we just played. The scripture is from Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Do you hear what that says? The only people who know Jesus are the ones to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And all God's people said, Amen. That scripture, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. It's on my grandmother's tombstone. My grandmother died in 1986. I'm not very good with dates, really. I can remember what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said or wrote, but I'm not very good with dates. But I know my grandmother died in 1986 because that's the year that Diane and I got married, 1986. Matter of fact, my grandmother died 2 weeks before Diane and I got married, and her biggest concern was that her death would interfere with our wedding. That sounds like a good grandma, doesn't it? My grandfather died at 42 years old. I was about 2 years old. And so at the age of 42 when he died, my grandmother put the tombstone up. That would have been in 1964. She waited 22 years to join him. Most of you in here would say right now that 42 is pretty young. There are some who, if you're 8 or 10 or 12 years old, you think 42, that's a pretty long life. But once you get to be 40, you start thinking that that's pretty young. And when you get to be 65, you think that's just a baby. My grandfather died, and his tombstone says, Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then my grandmother died in 1986, and her funeral, and she was buried right next to my grandfather. And then for about the next 15 years, I wasn't a Christian, and I thought that that meant that when you die, you get your rest. You ever heard anyone say, "I'll sleep when I'm dead"? You ever heard anyone say that? That's usually young people that say that. Older people are going, "When is my nap?" In about the year 2000, I became a Christian. I was 38 years old. You know, it's really a miracle if anybody comes to Christ as an adult in America. I think I read a statistic somewhere that 80% of the Christians become Christians as a child. Does that surprise you? The Scripture says that this has been hidden from the wise, but you've revealed them to babes. So you who are bringing your kids here, you are doing them a great service. You who bring your grandchildren here, you're doing them a great service. And I'm aware that, like, you all are here because you just celebrated a big wedding yesterday, right? Another family was grieving yesterday. One family's grieving, and one family is celebrating. And next Sunday, who knows what next Sunday holds, but there's going to be a family, Lord willing, celebrating 50 years. And here's what I think Gene Schaefer talked this morning about the dash. Have you heard of the dash? The dash is date of birth
and your date of death. And she talked about the dash. And sometimes we have this feeling that because life is so tough, and because, do you know that pastors suffer from depression? Do you know that I have read that upwards of 60% of pastors take antidepressants? I mean, look at you all. Is it a wonder? Isn't that a phenomenal statistic? Here's another statistic. 50% of clergy, 50% of the people who are pastors today will not be pastors in 5 years. And this isn't about pastors. But this is about me telling you that I go through the same stuff you do. I've got the same family issues that you have. It just struck me on Wednesday we were doing church downstairs on Wednesday night, and I was talking about a scripture from 2 Kings chapter 5. And it just struck me for the very first time that my half-brother is actually my cousin. You weren't here, Diane. I hand to God. I never thought about it before. Matter of fact, I said, my cousin just moved to Colorado because marijuana is legal there. And he loves to smoke marijuana. And so he moved there and got a job building X. He works in construction. And he posts pictures all the time. $2.86 or $4.12. He'll show a receipt. And all his friends are going, "Dude, we need to move to Colorado." And I introduced him downstairs as my cousin, because that sounds more distant than your half-brother. Now, I have to explain, I know, because some of you are going, how is he your half-brother and your cousin, right? Anybody wondering that? My dad and mom were married, and my dad and mom took in my mom's sister. She was 17 years old. And in
years, my dad dumped my mom and married her sister. And then they had a baby. So you figuring this out?
So technically he's my half-brother, because he's my dad's son, but not my mom's son. And technically he's my cousin, because he's my mom's sister's kid. Isn't that messed up? It just struck me on Wednesday. He's like 30 years old. And it just struck me on Wednesday. Because I'm talking to someone. He's
your half-brother's actually your cousin. Wow. So when he's doing good things, I can say, that's my half-brother. If he's doing bad things, that's my cousin. And God says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, who are remembering bad anniversaries. And I don't mean marriage. I'm sure I used a good anniversary. But, like Diane, on Friday, it was a year ago to the day on Friday that her sister passed away at 53 years old. You who have family problems, you who have financial worries, you who have sons and daughters who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, God says, come to me, you who are weary. So when I preached this morning at 9:30, I preached about the woman at the well. And for you who don't know, Jesus, he's on his way through Samaria, and he goes through Samaria specifically to meet this one woman who's going to be at this well at this certain part of the day. And do you know why Scripture says Jesus stopped at the well? He was weary. He was tired. He had had all he could take for a while. And he stopped. And he rested. And it was a divine appointment. And the woman came and she went back to her village, and disciples started being made. And it's a reminder to me and to you that there is no shame in being weary and heavy laden. There is no shame in being burdened. As a matter of fact, sometimes people say something bad will happen in a person's family and they're going, oh, I can't show my face at church. You know what I'm talking about? Good Lord, people! If you can't come here, if you're weary and heavy laden, where else are you going to go? This is the home of the weary and heavy laden. And you will find comfort for your souls. You will find rest for your bodies. And does it mean that you're going to go back out into the world and all the problems are going to be solved? Nope. For just a little while,
especially today, I'm supposed to remind you all that there is one who is never going to let you down. There is one who is always there for you. I'm reminded of what I heard someone say one time, that we're all one phone call away. If you're not weary and heavy laden now, just wait. The Bakers, this week, one phone call away. And now, if they weren't before, they're weary and heavy laden. They're weary and burdened. I think Stephanie and Brandon are going to have a great marriage. I was struck as I was sitting in the back and I took this picture. And they're sort, you know, sometimes when you're taking a picture, the camera will focus on either a light part or a dark part of the picture. And if it focuses on the darker part of the picture, it washes out the lighter part. And if it focuses on the lighter part, it might darken out. And as they're sort of in the shadows here, and it's a little dark, it's very bright right there. They're going to have a great marriage. And yet, and the day wasn't, maybe the day was yesterday for you all. The day was yesterday for Cindy of being heavy laden with all that was on their plate to do. That young couple is going to go through the times of their life that they're weary and heavy laden. Now, the good thing for you who aren't right now is you're hearing this at a good time so that when the time comes, you can reflect back and remember that the Lord says, "Come to me." And for you who are, for you who, like Mary Main, who has family concerns, the Lord says, "Come to me." You who are tired, you who are thirsty, you who are weary, you who are worn out, you who think that there's no more hope, I'm here to tell you that there is hope. I don't know if this illustration works or not, but it just came to my mind. On Friday night, Adam and Matt and I, and then one of Adam's friends, who was in Pittsburgh for a wedding, Friday night we went to the Pirates game. They played the Dodgers. Two best pitchers in baseball, arguably, right now. One leading the league in strikeouts and one leading the league in wins. We're pitching against each other. And I told Adam on Tuesday or Wednesday when we decided to go, I said, we'll probably just wait and buy our tickets up there. Well, I got there, and it was a sellout. 39,000 people. And we got standing room only tickets. We could have got some good seats for $75 a piece from a scalper, but I wasn't paying $300. Watch a game. And so we got these standing room only tickets and we found a place. The boys were over here at this table, standing table, and I was over here looking between these piers that are holding up the stadium until the seventh inning, and then people started to leave. And when the people started to leave, I got this bright idea to ask people where they were sitting. So I started going up to people saying, I started this in the sixth inning. People were leaving. And I started going up to people saying, are you leaving? And they said, yeah. And I said, can I have your tickets? I have said, we're in standing room only. And we... not because I wouldn't have bought a seat, but we didn't have the option. And so, well, the first question I said is, did you have good seats? That was the second question. First question I said, are you guys leaving? And they would say, yeah. And I would say, do you have good seats? And some of them would say, nah, we were sitting way up high. And I'd say, okay, have a good night. Hey, listen, if you're going to beg for seats, beg for good ones. So finally these two came and they said, yeah, we're leaving. Yeah, we had good seats. And I said, there were only two of them. There were four of us. I said, is there any way you'd give me your tickets? I explained to them we're standing room only and we'd love to sit down for a couple innings. And so these people gave me two tickets and I went back and Adam and his friend, I gave the tickets to them and it was really good seats. Row H, just on the third base line, closer to home plate than third base. Almost got a foul ball. And so then I asked some other people and they said, yeah, these people said, well, we don't really want to give up our tickets. We're from out of town and we want to keep them. And I said, well, I don't really need your tickets. What seats were you sitting? And so he said, section 113, row M, seats 7 and 8. And I said, okay. And so I went back and got Matt and I said, let's go. We're going to section 113, row M, seats 7 and 8. And we walked down and walked and sat in those seats. And that's where we watched the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th innings. And how I'm tying this into, how I'm using this as my closing for this message today is, man, it was not pleasant. I really feel like I can stand all day, but to just keep doing this, to see through those peers, and it wasn't really enjoyable. But then the Lord put it on my heart to ask people for their good seats. You may be going, now, God didn't put that on your heart, and I would argue that He did. And do you see where I'm going with this? It's an illustration that for a little while, come down here and take a load off. Come down here to where you just might get a foul ball. I'm telling you, it was for me to Helen, closer than that. For me to Helen, I was from getting a foul ball. Now, I know Maddie got one because she's cute and she went down and asked one of the ball players for it, right? Something like that. Come to me, you who are weary. And this is your invitation today. I love doing salvation messages, and that's actually what I had planned. It's what I gave at 8:30, a salvation message, the Roman Road. But for you at 11, I just felt like you needed to hear that God was telling me, God put on my heart not to ask you for your good seats, but to tell you to trust Him. God knew when we bought those standing room only tickets, God knew that He was going to give us those good seats. I'm totally convinced of it. God knew when you walked in here today, the burdens that you have on your heart. And He wants me to tell you to come to Him. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for this message that You have given me to give to a lot of people that You love today. A message of hope. A message of relief. A message of resting in You. There is no better seat than that, Lord, than resting in You. I have no doubt that You are ready with Your arms out to receive those who are weary and burdened. I pray that You would help each one of us who has things that nobody else knows or that very few know. I pray that You would help us to trust you, to come to you, to find our comfort and strength and peace in you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who offers this to us. In His name we pray. Amen.